Hi everybody, my name's Larry Thomas and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Larry!
Hi, you guys. I'm glad to see you again, and I'm glad my buddy Charlie and everybody else is here, and heard some good AA, you know. And my topic today is the home group. And you know, there's a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous that the road gets narrow. In my life, it gets less crowded. And the longer I stay sober, the more I become surrendered to the fact that I need my home group. You see, I love my home group. I always haven't been a part of my home group. I came in May 2nd, 1982. And I was taken into an Alano club, which is like being in quarantine, you know. And I thank God for my first sponsor, you know. And I'm a guy that I become what I'm around, you know. And I don't like being around people anyway, you know. And so for a first part of my sobriety, it was just me and my sponsor. You know, and it was hard for me to go to meetings, and it was hard for me to stick around meetings, you know. I would go to that meeting, and a half hour before my meeting, I'd put on my AA face. And then half hour after the meeting, I'd take my AA face off, and I'd go home, and I'd die. And I'd try to work an honest program dishonestly, you know. Because in the back of my mind, I didn't think I was going to stay that long anyway. You know, and I certainly wasn't going to become a part of this long arm of the Salvation Army, you know. And and I had no idea what a home group is. I had no idea. At about 2 years sober, I'm in my hotel room. And I'm stark craving sober, as they say. And I'm wondering how to end my life. You know, should I jump in front of that bus or, you know, stab myself with one of my, you know, Shakey's pizza forks, you know. And and I didn't know what to do. A little guy came down to that Alano club at about 2 years sober, and he told me what I was in front of everybody. And he said, "You're an AA pimp. You're a loser." And after that meeting, he says, there's a triangle in Alcoholics Anonymous, Larry, and I hope you find it. And it's called Unity, Service, and Recovery. And don't be afraid. I'm not going to get into a big tradition talk, you know. But if it wasn't for those things, I wouldn't have the value that I have in my home group. And he took me to my first home group, which is the Bellflower Big Book group, Monday night meeting. And that became my home, you know. And that's what a home group is to me. You see, when I think of a home group and I think of Alcoholics Anonymous, the idea, especially when I think of Alcoholics Anonymous, the idea of Akron or Cleveland or New York doesn't even in my mind. When I think of Alcoholics Anonymous, I think of my home group and exactly what goes on in that home group, you know. And when I came to my first home group, and it is still my home group, and I've got the type of home group who could care less I'm in Anchorage, who could care less I talk. All they want is their damn coffee made. You know what I mean? They're not impressed with what I do anywhere else. You know what I mean? But they want their chairs put up, and they want me to shut my mouth, and they want me to make the coffee, and they take this giant ego, and they get it small enough to be of service in a meeting called Alcoholics Anonymous, where they don't need me to tell anybody what to do. You know what I mean? I am just one among many, which is where I'm at my best, when I'm just one of you. It's when my head starts telling me I need to start telling people what to do, how to do it, when to do it. I've got so many years, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that I am more of disservice than anything, you know. And in my home group, my Monday night meeting, I become a... My sponsor says, "I want you to work in the kitchen." He says, "I don't want you out there shaking hands with the good people." You know, he says, "Stay back there," you know what I mean? And, you know, I'm still back there. You know, I'm I'm an active member of that home group, because what that home group brought to me was something that I never felt a part of growing up as a kid, was I'm part of a home. I'm part of a home group, and in that home group, I'm not just passing through. I'm not a guest. And just like I'm not a guest in my home. It's my home. It's up to me and my house to do my chores. If you were to come to my house in Lakewood, when it come time to leave, I wouldn't say, hey, we want to volunteer and help me clean the bathroom. You know what I mean? You know, that's my home group. It's up to me to do the chores in my home group so that my guests or my new members or my new friends in my home group will feel as comfortable as they can possibly be in that home group. And maybe they'll feel so comfortable that they'll begin to hear the message of Alcoholics Anonymous and then take it a step further. Maybe they'll remember that, hey, maybe I can come back there next Monday. Maybe I can do it here. These people seem to be a little bit happy, and they, you know, they seem to be just as goofy as I am, really, you know. And they seem to be doing something, and they all seem to be doing it together. You see, and that's the thing I've been trying to, stay away from my whole sobriety is I don't want to get into this big Boy Scout thing of staying sober, you know, let's all ride together, you know, in the AA bus, you know, and we're going camping, you know, and I want, you know, God damn it, I'll do it myself, you know what I mean? I got me here, I'll get me out of here, you know. And that whole home group squashes me right out of it, you know. And it's not a place where I guinea pig with my babies to try and test things that'll work on them, you know what I mean, that I haven't tried, you know. I mean, I'm sponsoring a gay man, you know, and I don't even have to watch Queer Eye for the Straight Guy to try to get a handle on it, you know what I mean? I didn't know what to do with him, and I didn't want to talk too long because I didn't want him to think that I liked him, or, you know what I mean? I didn't know what was going to happen, you know. You know, never go shopping with him, never handle cucumbers with him. I didn't know what to, you know, I didn't know how to mingle, you know what I mean? And I remember a couple years ago, I woke up and I was just obsessed with sex, you know. I don't know where you were, you know. You know, she's praying for that to come back, she was on a backpacking. She went backpack. She backpacks a lot. She loves to camp, you know, and she loves to be in the woods, and I like to be locked up in a room, you know. And so, like any well-principled man in AA, as soon as my wife leaves for the weekend, the first thought that I have is, you know, guys know what I'm talking about, is, great, I get to vacuum the way I want to, you know. Where the hell that comes from? But she took off, and I wake up, and I was just obsessed with these thoughts and stuff like that, you know, and I called my sponsor, and he goes, Jesus Christ. You know, he said, why don't you do some chores around there or something, you know, and get out of your head for Christ's sake, you know, and go to a meeting later on, you know. And so I went in the backyard, and she'd been wanting me to dig these roses and plant. And I hate digging, you know, so I started digging these plants, you know, and, God damn flowers, you know, and planting these things, and, you know, just hating her, you know, and I'm, you know, it's been about a good, I don't know, 5 minutes or something, I'm into it, you know, sweating, you know, I don't know. And I get a call from one of the guys that I sponsor, you know, and it's that guy. And he goes, Sponce, he says, are you busy? I said, what do you want, you know? And he says, I'm going crazy. He says, I'm just obsessed with sex. And I says, well, Jesus Christ, get a hobby, you know? I mean, you know, why don't you take up gardening? I hear that works, you know? But I got part of that home group, as I was sharing with you last night, that somehow in your, I mean, can you imagine getting ready to come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and there is no AA? Where would you guys be? Where would we be? You know, where would we be? You know, no place pretty. You know, And that's why it's up to me, as a member of my home group, to recreate this atmosphere that was created for me, so that it may be the guy or gal that comes in has the same chance. You know, it's not about becoming secretary or climbing any type of ego-tripping ladder. It's about recreating this thing that was done for us. Having the same atmosphere and the same meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I tell you what, I had something happen to me about 4 months ago in my home group. You know, unity in Alcoholics Anonymous isn't how many people we can put in a room. That's chaos. You know, unity in Alcoholics Anonymous is how many people we could put in this room and do the same thing for the same reason, only for the same result. You know, and that's why that no matter where that newcomer goes, whether he goes to Brad, to Charlie, to John, to Dan, to whoever, he gets the same answer. And no matter who he's going to, he's getting the same answer. And where he's blinded by stability and the consistency, where that if he wants a different answer, he may have to go someplace else. You know what I mean? But if he wants to solve his alcoholism and have the solution, that we're always giving him the same info. And we had a guy a couple months ago in our home group who is dead set on this medication thing and stuff like that. And, you know, we don't endorse or oppose it. But I guarantee you, the guys that I sponsor and the people that I'm around, I don't take it. And I can't sponsor a guy that does, because I'm milling around a little area that I have no experience in. And all I got to share is my experience, strength, and hope. And my experience, strength, and hope is I came to you with nothing. I was loaded on medication for year after year after year, and I come to Alcoholics Anonymous every type of thing to come here with other than wanting to stay sober. You know, and my experience is that I couldn't take medication and stay sober, and I'm not doing it now, and I don't sponsor men that do. But if you need to do that, there are some people who will sponsor you. Just, I can't do it. I'm not saying you can't take your medication, but I certainly don't have the experience to sponsor somebody who's on it. Because the men that I sponsor, and my experiences is as a result of these steps, certain things have happened to me. And when my alcoholism rears its ugly head, there's a solution that I have, and it isn't taking one more. Whereas someone on medication, all they have to do, from what I understand, is just up the dose. And I don't have that experience, you see. But it doesn't mean that I got the cure-all for everybody. That means that I'm honest enough with that man to say, you know what, pal, I don't know what to do. But there are some people that may know what to do with you, but it isn't me. And I can't do that, you know. My ego wants me to sponsor everybody that comes my way, every dog catcher in town, you know what I mean? And, you know, and I can't. And I have to have the honesty to tell that. It's not important how many men that I sponsor. It's important that I try to carry this message, and I can't get caught up in this number game, and I need to have 200 guys to be a good member of AA. You know what a good member of AA consists of? Consistency. Being active and hands-on in a thing maybe called a home group, you see? One of the most powerful people I know are in the silent majority of AA, the unspoken heroes as they are in AA. The little guys that are always there, no matter what shape or frame of mind you're in, there's always those couple of guys that are in your meeting who need no recognition, who need no pats on the back, who don't need a parade because they put up their chairs, you know, they don't need a standing O because they made coffee, you know. Oh, good, Andrew made a pot of coffee. Yeah! You know what I mean? You know, they just do it. They do it because they love Alcoholics Anonymous and they want to recreate this thing called, you know, this atmosphere, you know. And I became a part of that atmosphere, and I love the book talks about creating a fellowship we crave. Now, there's a word I understand. There's a word that I understand, you know. And there's nothing like having a home group where your sponsor's there, you know. And you see, and that chain of sponsorship, it can be so vital to a guy like me, you know. In 1985, my sponsor, Johnny, got a new sponsor because his first sponsor, Norm Alpe, died, and he got another sponsor, and one of his commitments was to start going up to the Pacific Group on Wednesday night. And my sponsor says, get in the car, kid, you know, And around 1986, I started going to the Wednesday night Pacific group. It may not be my home group, but on Wednesday night, it's the closest thing I got. And I don't come there and sit on my hands and put a buck in the basket, you know, or anything like that. I have a commitment, and I make sure I put $5 to $6 a Wednesday there, you know, and I become, and I've had little commitments in a group that I don't call my home group, but dang it, it's the place that I need to be on Wednesday nights. And I'm more regular than the regular members. You know, I'm greeting people to their own home group sometimes, you know. And I've become an active member because on Wednesday nights, that's my place. That's where I've seen guys who are, and that's what I liked about finding that Wednesday night meeting, is I found guys in my own peer group. You know, it's not so much hanging on my sponsors every word anymore. I had to start exposing myself to men of my age and my sobriety. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to let these other guys in. I wanted to keep the image up. I wanted to keep the personal life to myself and yours to yours, you know. But somewhere along the line, I started finding relief in those 20, 30 minutes, hour before the meeting, where I couldn't talk about plumbing to everybody, you know. I'm talking shit all day as it is, you know what I mean? And not everybody knows about plumbing or gives a damn, you know what I mean? You know, but I had to start getting myself out there, and I had to start asking you about your day and stuff like that, and that's how I started meeting other men. And I started looking forward to these meetings. You know, for my first 5 years, my home group, I would go to it, and those were your meetings. That's your meeting. You take care of it. I'll do the commitments. You know, but I ain't going to like it, you know. And I still went, and I was still consistent. And then somewhere after 5 years or something, they became my meetings. And I become very possessive of my home group. That's my home group. That's my commitment. Get your hand off that mop. You know what I mean? You know. Damn it, this meeting's over at 9. Shut up. You know, I don't, you know. Keep down, you know. And now, somewhere after my 12th year, I don't know what happened, but it became our meetings. It was our meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I can be just as good of an example with my mouth shut and being consistency as any old-timer in that meeting with experience, strength, and hope. That maybe sometimes the best example you can be in that meeting is being consistent. Because you never know when the new one's watching you. You'll never know when somebody's back there getting ready to approach you to ask them to be your sponsor, and how rude it would be for you to get up in the middle of the speaker and go to the bathroom or something like that. You know, you never know who's watching you. You know, you're an example when you're in here. And that's where I learned how to live. That's where a guy like me, who knew nothing about being a man, started hanging around other men who were struggling. And I started growing up here. I started learning how to be a good husband and to be a father, even though I wasn't around my daughter as much as I'd like. There were men in Alcoholics Anonymous who told me that, you know what, you may not be somebody's husband, but you're always going to be somebody's, you know, some little kid's father, you know. And here's what we're going to do. And they taught me little lessons of life. And the women in Alcoholics Anonymous, I got to learn how to talk to women without any type of little M.O. behind it. And I could talk to women, and they taught me how to write my daughter, Lauren. That you don't write your daughter on that legal yellow pad, for Christ's sakes. You write her on Pocahontas paper. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know. And that little girl knew where I was at, and she knew where to find me, and she knew my home number. And I wrote her, and I wrote her, and I called her, you know, several times a week, and we were always in touch, you know. And now that little girl is 18 years old, you know. And she's doing great in college. She's going to junior college, you know. It wasn't too long ago she called me up and she said, "Daddy, the kids are making fun of me because I'm so smart." She said, "Did that ever happen to you?" I said, "Yes, it did." Happened to me this morning, sweetheart, you know. But she threw me through a loop. She threw me through a loop, man. I swear to God, I seen her a couple months ago, and we have, I go over there, and we have our daughter-daddy date and stuff, and the next morning we have breakfast together, and I take off, and because if I can go to Anchorage to spread the word, can I go to Phoenix to see my daughter? Which is more spiritual here? And I was having breakfast with my daughter, and we had a lovely night together and stuff, and my little daughter yawned, and her little T-shirt rose above her Levi's, and baby has a tattoo. Baby doesn't have a hummingbird. Baby has a mural of the county jail wrapped all around her, man. And I mean, it's a biggie. And I looked at that thing, and I said, "You, what are you doing?" I said, "You know," and I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. Didn't say a thing. Didn't say a thing about it. You know, didn't have to. Had that torqued look on my, you know, that, just buzzing, man, you know, just, you know, "Daddy, do you want no more bacon?" "I don't want no goddamn bacon out of," you know, I was just, you know, like, you know, and I couldn't believe it, man, you know, and I just couldn't wait to get out of Denny's. I'm a big spender, you know, and nothing too good for that little girl, you know, and all the way home, man, I'm driving from, you know, from Phoenix. I was like, Jesus, you know, and thank God, man, I, you know, my sponsor was out of town, but my grand sponsor was at the Wednesday night meeting. And me and him talked, and he says, I don't, anytime you call her, he says, never bring it up again. Forget it. Don't ever bring it up again, you know. And sure enough, man, every time I call her, you know, I want to, "You still got that tattoo?" You know, is it getting any bigger? You know, I mean, you know, but I just shut up, you know, and just let the little girl be, you know. But I tell you, I never, and my job as a regular member of my group is every now and then I get to talk to one of my AA brothers. And even though a guy that I don't sponsor, and maybe not even know that well, but my job in my home group is every now and then I get to talk to one of my AA brothers and maybe talk him out of running away from home. Because that's what it is for me. And I know it sounds flaky to some people. You know, what kind of life you have? AA is your home. You know what I mean? Well, it's the only home that I've ever felt home in. You know what I mean? It's the only place that I've ever really fit in and found out that it's okay just to be me, and I don't have to be perfect. You know, the reason that I've been a perfectionist in the ways that I sought it in you so that you could cover my lack of being perfect. I'm that lazy. I wanted you to be perfect so you can cover my ass. You see? That's the kind of perfectionist I am. I want you to do for me what I should be doing for myself. You see? And I grew up with men in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I saw how vital our traditions are and how vital that home group is to keep this thing alive and well and perpetuating the gift that's been given to us. Perpetuation, man. You know, you guys, we talked about it Thursday, and we've been seeing it all weekend. And me and Charlie, we see it all the time, that AA is not the same. You guys were here. You guys, everybody was talking about my buddy Tommy that was here, you know. And Tommy's one of those guys that me and him were bouncing around in those gangs together. And when somebody told me that he was here and sober 17, I couldn't wait to see him. You know what I mean? But maybe Tommy does it a different way. But maybe Tommy knows where to go now. When maybe he wants something more than junk food in AA. And maybe one of these days he'll want meat and potatoes. And he'll know where they're serving it. And they're serving it in busy meetings and enthusiastic meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they're certainly serving it in home groups. The home group is vital to a guy like me because I starve without you. There has to be something between me and my sponsor, and that's other people in this road of happy destiny where we can bump shoulders and we can be perfect and we talk about those defects of character. And I tell you, the thing that I love it where it says we humbly ask him is because he knows we're going to be back. He knows I'm a repeat offender, baby, you know. And I'm here with other repeat offenders. And one of the biggest things that I enjoyed in my life is watching me be consistent for the first time in my life. You know, I got faith in Alcoholics Anonymous by continually showing up. Weather in the storm. It's easy to come here when things are feeling good and you got a fat wallet. But when everything in your life is going south, when everything in your life is just shouting, I have no reason to be here. I remember being 7 years sober. My sponsor told me that I was complacent. I had no idea what it meant. I was, well, geez, thanks. You know, I feel pretty good, you know, and I found out what complacent is, you know. Complacent is self-satisfied while in the midst of danger, you know. Your house is burning and you want to set up, you know, furniture and shit, you know what I mean? And that's why that consistency in a home group fights against the very defect that I have of being complacent, being satisfied with what I'm doing in AA. I hope I never satisfied with what I'm doing in AA. I hope there's always a little hunger to do more. I hope I'm always in the middle of AA. Where if you're feeling bad, I can pull you to a meeting. And if I'm feeling bad, you can pull me to a meeting. But for Christ's sakes, at least we're pulling each other to our home group. Where we know once we're there, we're safe. And we're in the midst of a power greater than ourselves. You see? I didn't have a God when I got here. I didn't have a religious upbringing. I was afraid of this thing called God. I had a baby brother that I was supposed to have in my life, and I was 8 years old. My mom went to the hospital to deliver him, and she come back, and the baby died. And my first resentment was at my dad. For Christ's sakes, you promised me, Dad. For 9 months, I've been saving my baseball cards and oiling it up that glove and waiting for that kid brother. And when that kid died, I went after the old man with all 80 pounds, kicking and screaming and hitting, telling him, you promised me. He became the top of my resentment list. You know? And it was because of the men in Alcoholics Anonymous that taught me how to deal with things like that, you know? And that I could be honest with other men in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they could show me actions what to do and stuff like that. You know, one of the things that I enjoyed about in my home group, and I still do today, was that my dad passed away about 4 years ago, and I didn't know what to do or where to go. But I knew I needed to go to my Thursday night workshop, you know. And about 3:30, me and my dad are together in the room, and I went in to do his checks, and I went back to his room, and he was gone. And you see, my father became my best friend. I hated that man with a passion. But me and my dad, because of the Men's and Alcoholics Anonymous and continuing to show up in his life, he became my best buddy, you know. And after he passed away, it was 3:30, and I didn't know what to do. But I knew I had to be at my meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I knew that there was a power here, you know. And that God that I lost on my mother's delivery date, I became afraid of this thing called God. Because I thought, well, that's what God does. He creates you and kills you. I'm never going to even think about this thing called God, you know. And I went to my home group, and I told my sponsor. I said, you know, Dad passed away. And he says, all right, kid. He says, I'll see you at the meeting. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to mention a thing to anybody when I go into that room because I don't want to be reminded of it. And I need to be relieved of it. And if there's anything that can do that, it would be that home group of mine. And sure enough, I went to that Thursday night 12 and 12 of ours, our workshop. And every baby that I had there, they came up and they told me their little rusty flat tire story of the day. And after about four or five guys that I sponsor, I was in the best place that I was. And I didn't even have to bring up the thing about my father. That the power of that group and the power of Alcoholics Anonymous and just these guys telling me their little rusty ass stories, I knew that I was in the right place. You see, I found a power here. I found a power here that I've never been able to describe. And to this day, some people will tell me, you know, well, can you describe your God? And I can't put a face on him, and I can't get into detail about that. But what makes me safe with a power greater than myself is that I get that from my home group. And the very thing that I get from my home group is that I'm playing with the evidence of a power. I'm sitting in the middle of the evidence of a power greater than myself. Because every Monday and Wednesday and Thursday, I can look down these rows like I do tonight, and I can see row after row after row after row of people who shouldn't be alive. But right now, they're sitting in the middle of the most evidential result of a power greater than ourselves, and I choose to call it Alcoholics Anonymous. That's where I found my power. And whenever I have doubts about my God or anything like that, I think about his evidence. And I can't think about his evidence without thinking about you, and I can't think about you without thinking about the evidence, and I can't think about either one of you without thinking about this thing called Alcoholics Anonymous and the vital necessity of a home group for guys like me. I need you more, and I need you more and more. But I don't need you to be around me while I come here to get. What I need to do is I started coming to Alcoholics Anonymous to give. I come to here just to give part of this thing. I can't tell you the last time I left a meeting where I said, Jesus, I wish they would have talked about sponsorship. Jesus, I wish they would have talked about the solution. And it's always been my little code of ethic that if you're not hearing what you need to hear in your home group, why in the hell aren't you talking about it? Why are you relying somewhere else again and again for somebody else to do what you're supposed to be doing? You need to hear about sponsorship? Get your little dirty hand up there and talk about your rusty-ass sponsor. You know what I mean? You know? Because there's probably two other people that want to hear about that clown too, you know? You know? And that's where I belong in my home group. That's where I do my work. It's very egotistical and it's very flashy to say I go to different places and talk and da-da-da-da-da-da. But I tell you what, I do my work in my home group. That's where I'm trolling for those news guys. That's where I can't wait to talk to Frank and John and I sit in what they call Murderer's Row. There's about four of us in front of Johnny and Clancy, you know, and we're sitting there and that's what I look forward to on my Wednesday night. Waiting to talk to those guys about their day and get my rusty rear off that wall of that home group and look for a strange face. Look for a guy you haven't seen before and stuff like that. You know, your home group to me is very vital. Everything about Alcoholics Anonymous to me is expressed in my home group. You know, and it's my responsibility, I've always believed, to try to recreate that atmosphere that was created for me. Like I told you last night, you know, me and my sponsor and a surrender to God, you guys lit a little spark in me. And when I bring that spark and you bring your spark, something happens when me and you are together. Something happens there that is indescribable. But it's so evident in groups like this and others, especially in our home group. And it's so good to have a home group where once they see a flame like that, they give you actions to fan that flame. They're not spitting on it and trying to put it out and say, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go to the potluck. You've got 5 years. You don't need to go to the birthday party. You've got 10. You don't need to go again. I know you're tired. But you got people fanning that flame. And that's what my home group has done for me. They have fanned a flame. They have turned a crazy, intense, neurotic kid into a young man who's got enthusiasm for a thing called life and Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.